Lord, we gather in your name and we look to you. With your permission, Lord, we ask you to speak to the hearts of these couples, these individuals, and those made in your image and likeness. Pour out on them a spirit of reflection to be those that mirror your love. Strengthen us, console us, and invite us again to renewal of our hearts for you. Blessed Mother, be with us and guide us. We pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Please be seated, folks. Years ago, I was on a retreat, and it was by an old priest buddy of mine, my spiritual director. His name was Father Ron. And it was the retreat after Easter, the Monday after Easter. And so that was when I had given a pizza, Coca-Cola, and so I was still heavily ramped up on the blessings of the fruit of the earth. Anyway, there were about 15 priests, and he gave a meditation. And I've shared this before, but I go back to it constantly. He said he exposed the Blessed Sacrament, and he leaned like down. He had those like old man half glasses, and he looked at the Eucharist and he said, "It happened. Jesus died and he rose. It happened. It was just a matter of fact." I think about that, those two words constantly, because it eliminates all emotion. It happened. You were born. You were baptized. You made your first communion. And you married. It happened. It's important that you recognize that. Because when you hold on to that moment of it happening, something propels you to keep saying, "I made the commitment. I will follow through. I will run the race. I will fight the good fight." It happened. For better or worse, richer or poorer, health, sickness. A week ago, I had 3 funerals in the same week. All of them had been parishioners at St. Andrew's at the beginning. St. Andrew's was founded in 1960. And these had basically foundation stones. All were widows, but they'd been there 50 years. All 3 of them chose the book of Revelation, talking about a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, the book of Revelation is a book about a marriage, actually. It's about a communion, and it describes heaven as like, well, a marriage. where God actually sort of marries us. The whole scriptures is really familiar to you. God lures you into the desert. He seduces you, not in an impure way, but he seduces your heart so that you will love him. Throughout all of scripture, you could kind of say it's the love story of God seducing us, chasing us to show us, please love me, please love me. I wish to be loved by you. In the first place in your heart, to be loved. And it culminates with the last book of the scriptures, which describes eternal life as a banquet, as something of God. And he lays it out, and he lays it out like a groom inviting his bride, come. And the imagery of the bride is that you and I are the bride. And he wants you, like the bride on the wedding night, to receive. So he wants us to receive and to eat and to be fed and to live gloriously in the newness, the novelty. The newness. I wonder sometimes, in the midst of all the day, the schedule, what does new look like? What is new? Three funerals of old people. All three, I think, were anointed right before they went home to the Lord. We gave them the old kiss-a-rooney of the sacrament. So they went home sealed as a child of God. They were made new at that moment. I sometimes see new and old at the same time. The sinner, the old sinner, comes into the confessional and goes out cleansed. The couple that marries, who's been blessed or maybe not so blessed prior to the bond, and then they come to the church, and at the end of the Mass, they say, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce you, Mr. and Mrs., and they kiss as husband and wife. All these back and forths of new and old, new and old. It's a beautiful idea, because there's new and old in our marriage, in our relationship. There's beauty in the old, like the older folks whose funerals I did, or who plunked down next to each other at daily Mass. There's beauty in the new. But I don't think that if we don't get to that place of new in the old, we don't see the full picture. God doesn't change out Adam, and he doesn't change out Eve. What he does, he makes it new. He doesn't remove all the baggage, because that's made in his image and likeness. What he does is he purifies it, strengthens it, rehabs it constantly, constantly. It happened, and it happens over and over and over. Eternal life is the person of Christ. Your marriage is that person. It is to be that person. It is to be one that has a cross, one that suffers like he. It is to be one that forgave like Christ. It is to be one that seeks the will of the Father. It is not as difficult as you think. It's actually more supernatural. One of the beautiful things that I love on the wedding day is the first time that the husband-to-be sees his bride coming down the aisle. But also when he takes her by the hand from the old man and brings her to her chair. That PDA of the hand reaching and drawing in is something very much of God. It's an old hand and a new hand. Tonight I will pray over your hands in a moment. You'll be invited to come forward and place your hands on the base of the monstrance and look at the Blessed Sacrament. And I would ask you to do three things. Ask that your hands become new hands in relationship to your spouse. That if you have heavy hands, tired of reaching, or aggressive hands, or hands of expectation, that they be purified. Number two, I would ask that you look at the Eucharist and ask for healing of your eyes and healing that you see your spouse with the eyes of Christ. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. A current popular Christian song proclaims. But that you would see. And thirdly, I would ask that you speak to the Lord, sort of non-verbally, but at the same time, really just asking the Lord, Lord, increase my faith, increase my hope, my love. Help me to love more deeply. You have within you everything you need just to sort of give more deeply. And it can happen. I'd love to quote Father Ron years from now and look back on your marriage and say, yeah, it happened on a retreat. It happened on their wedding day. But to know in my heart, yeah, it happened that night they forgave, or the night that they said yes to each other. Because then the resurrection continues. It doesn't stop. Renewal constantly. Renewing myself that I may love more deeply. Last point. In a minute you can play, okay? Would be to recognize that when I allow this to happen, God mysteriously becomes more real in my own spiritual life. I think the world needs the flesh to be healed. But it can't necessarily happen in my flesh as a priest. It needs to happen in the flesh of a marriage. I can help lead it. I can help initiate it. Even to be an instrument. But I don't see that being the answer. I think it takes on flesh in you folks. And that's for the generations to come after you. My favorite story was when I was at Jesus Divine Word, and this family named the Sullivans, Rob and Barb, they had 9 kids and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe great-great, I couldn't keep them all straight. He was the cutest guy. He kept a little pocket calendar. I guess he gave $5 to the Indian mission of blah, blah, blah. And so he had it in his pocket. And he always had his kids and grandkids' birthdays and great-grandkids. He was a throwback. No palm blackberries. He couldn't handle it. And it was by month. Remember, I'd say, Rob, let me see that. He's like, oh, okay, so it's September. The 3rd, I got little Danny. He's 18, and he would go down the litany of all of his kids' birthdays. He had all the significant dates. Anyway, Miss Sullivan had a sickness. She had a cancer, something. And he brought her by the office one day. And he sat down and he said, well, Father, you're probably wondering why we're here. He said, we just got back from Barb's doctor. We were diagnosed with breast cancer. Barb has a lump in her breast. He so beautifully understood marriage. His wife had the lump, but he said, we have been diagnosed with cancer. But I found it so fascinating that they really, truly understood something that spoke to unity. My point is very clear. You know, nothing becomes new unless it happens in both of you. Otherwise, it may happen in you, but if your spouse stays locked or trapped or unforgiving, all of that just keeps coming up. And it doesn't matter whether the lump is gone. If your spouse won't touch you in the lump, they might as well still be there. My prayer is that going beyond just whatever issues, but going deeper and saying, all things new. The Lord comes to make all things new. That's eternal life. That's the banquet. If you feel called or whenever, just you'll be invited to kneel when it's time, and I'll pray over your hands. But I ask you to look with your eyes, to put your hands on top of each other. I'll bless your wedding rings. and to go deeper. You are before the Savior. Let him heal you, and let him pour his mercy upon your wounds.